All right, let's start this one off with a little advice for me. It's something I want to bring up, and I know we did it a while ago, and people who were a part of the group a while back when we probably had half the members we do now heard this, and they saw the video, and they got a lot out of it. And everybody across the country who's part of this group really got some value out of this statement. If you have somebody who is giving you their information, or they're required to, or they are compelled to give you their information, and they don't know what their Social Security number is, if you ask somebody for their date of birth and their name, and then you ask them for their Social Security number and they don't know what it is, and you are dealing with an adult past the age of 18, even at 18, I've had a few people who legitimately didn't know their Social Security numbers, but anybody who is an adult, especially somebody who has tattoos and looks like they've been through the system before, and I don't mean tattoos because it's not it's really a kind of a cliche statement to make. It's not 1965 and you would only find that but if you talk about the tattoos, like jailhouse tattoos, like crap across their neck and on their face, and then you got a guy who's telling you he doesn't know his Social Security number, you more than likely, 99.9% chance, is you have a liar. This rolls back into State versus Pierce. And when you can ask, this is for New Jersey guys, State versus Pierce, State versus Slark, and then New Jersey court rules that allow you to make arrests for motor vehicle violations. I'm not going to go into all that thing. I just want everybody here to know that if you run into this situation when you're asking somebody for their pedigree information and they don't know their Social Security number, they're lying to you. Some other tips, if they're spelling their name and it's Johnson and they spell it wrong, like spell Johnson, J-H-O-N-S-O-N. There is no way on earth that this person is the first person ever who spells Johnson that way. They just don't know how to spell it. Always ask for middle names. If it doesn't seem like they know how to spell their name a second time, or if they're screwing up, you have somebody who's lying about who they are. That's it. It's a really nice tip for a lot of the newer guys because, man, if I knew these things when I was new, I can't tell you, people probably got let go. But when you hear those exact words, when you hear things like that and it sounds fishy, you probably have somebody lying about who they are. Guys, take that, use that. Now we're going to go to, I asked the group if they wanted to, if they had questions and some topics they wanted me to address. So yeah, some guys wrote in. I'm going to answer some of those questions right now, and I'll provide you guys with the case law and links that provide where the answers come from. All right, so Chris Michael writes in, just a refresh on the length of a stop and the actual time frame. How long can you actually prolong the stop to get a dog, and what would the point of that car stop? At what point would the point of the car stop be going too long? And I'm going to look into my PowerPoint. Let's see if I have it. Hopefully I have it right here. I really should have looked at this before I went into it. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So here are the ones that have been tested. There is no reasonable. This is what's going to happen. Let me go back a little bit here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So U.S. versus Sharp is the first case that comes out, right? 20-minute or longer detentions do not constitute a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It says that clearly. In Sharp, the court refused to adopt a time limit. New Jersey courts adopt Sharp in State v. Davis, 1986. And let's see what it says. And state officers should use the least intrusive investigative techniques reasonably related available to verify or dispel his suspicion in the shortest time period reasonably possible. And the courts will look at whether or not the police diligently pursue their investigative detention and whether the detention lasts no longer than is necessary to effectuate the purpose of the stop. Here's what's been tested. In U.S. versus Davies, which is a federal Supreme Court case, 45 minutes. U.S. versus Alpert, 1987, that is 50 minutes. Okay. 60 minutes for U.S. versus Large. And, I got screwed up. I think it was 95 minutes was U.S. versus Boras or something like that. And I'm going to just double check that and see what the time frame was on that. Each of these cases cited involved delays necessitated by efforts to obtain narcotics dogs for sniffing luggage or packages. All right. And there you have it. So I never really got caught up in the, is it going to get suppressed because we kept the guy here too long? If you are waiting too long for a dog, like I've said before, and it's really far out. Now, I had somebody recently told me that they waited 20 minutes and their bosses said like 20 minutes is a no-no. Like, what? Like, we're letting drug dealers go if they can beat out the time a dog gets there. What's wrong with these people? Guys are like, oh, man, you really beat up on supervisors. I there are a lot of supervisors who are on my side, and there's a lot of supervisors who don't know what they're doing. And that's where I kind of beat up on them a little bit. Like, get educated. You're called to a scene to make sure that you know what you're doing and give the right direction. When you show up somewhere and you let a drug dealer go, or you cancel a dog because you think there's a 20-minute time limit because you've never read case law, that's what I have a problem with, because you're letting criminals go on your lack of knowledge and your insecurities. Now, if the top doesn't have your back, I get it. Totally understood. But seriously, the courts also, in a lot of these cases, have differentiated between letting somebody go and holding the car. It was very different in a time limit. So if it looks like your dog is going to be 90 minutes out, which it just may very well be, guys are like, oh, I couldn't get a dog. Everybody can get a friggin' dog. Don't tell me you can't get a dog. That's bullshit. Have your canine plan. Eddie, real quick, I'm going to just jump on here. I heard that somewhere and something about DWIs. Yeah, State versus Colapinto was 25 minutes waiting for somebody to come out and give out SFSTs in New Jersey, Eddie, for that one. That's a New Jersey case. I don't know what year. I think it was 2006 or something like that. or 2009, I forget. But I certainly would. You could do things like, hey, man, you don't want to give consent to search of this car. That's fine. Car is staying. You are free to leave. And you could do it that way. That's that if you have concerns with time limits, but don't hand away, don't give somebody back a drug car or something that may have some kind of illegal activity in it because you're worried about time constraints. I mean, if you really, really think about this stuff, guys, it's so simple and ridiculous to even imagine that you would have a time limit, and we don't have one. So I'm telling you, I've waited an hour and a half for a dog. I promise you, I've waited an hour and a half for a dog. And it's gone to court, dog indicated, it's gone to court, nothing happened. I don't know why we're always Monday morning quarterbacking what's going to happen in court right before it even gets to court, right? Before it even gets to court, it doesn't make any sense. So I get that people are trying to avoid lawsuits and things of that sort. So here's an answer, a solution to that problem. Next question. Let's see. Can all occupants of a vehicle be searched if a canine indicates on a vehicle? Now, I will tell you, in State versus Judge, this is my theory on this. This is my opinion. There's no case law regarding this. But I will tell you, in State versus Judge, 1994, when they smell weed in the car, all passengers come out and they get searched, right? Matter of fact, the driver could be arrested. Even in Judge, they address the driver could be arrested under 39-4-41.1 for a CDS, an in-presence that, it satisfied the in-presence requirement that a CDS offense under Title 39, which is a serious offense, and they refer to State versus Pierce. They could have just been arrested on that alone, the driver. And the passengers come out, they're allowed to be searched. So my question to you is this. We can smell weed, but a dog can smell other drugs. So if I was applying Judge to that situation, you had people step out and a dog hit, if I was working, I would then search people, because I would imagine, just like Judge says, the product could be found on the person of somebody. Now, that's really up to, how that's going to be portrayed. And I'd like to see some case law come forward on that. I think we would really get that. I want to believe that the courts would side with us and give us that one. But, that's up to you. I'm not telling you to do anything illegal. There's no rules on yes or no, you can do it. Me, I would do that, but I'm not you. So I would probably be doing that myself. My opinion, to be clear on that. Okay. But it's a good opinion. Can you talk about furtive movements and your thoughts about it? Yeah, furtive movements is very vague language. Use descriptions of what you saw, okay? So you're going to try to say, like, hey, the guy reached down. I saw his head go down and his right shoulder reach under the car. You don't want to put, like, we pulled the car over, and that's furtive movements. Don't. If you have a partner and you write bad reports, ask somebody to look it over and help you out a little bit. Did you write in here? No, I didn't see it anywhere. Really, really be descriptive for what you're seeing. Don't use furtive movements as a general description. Write exactly what you're seeing. And furtive movements may lead to your ability to do a Terry frisk of the vehicle, whatever it may be. So that's furtive movements. Let's see. That's an APM. Yeah, you're just got that one. If you make a traffic stop and someone is riding a bicycle and they have a backpack, can you go over how to search a backpack if you RES, but they refuse consent? Yeah, so here's what you're going to do. Just like a car, if they have a backpack, if they don't have warrants for their arrest, or you can't put them in handcuffs and search that backpack incident to arrest, what you're going to do is you're going to take the backpack off. You're going to call for a canine. You're going to put the backpack on the ground. The dog will come and indicate on the backpack. If the dog indicates on the backpack, then you'll have to apply for a search warrant for the backpack. Got it? All right, let's see. Matt, I thought I remember your video where you said you can do a document search. I suppose I was mistaken. You can do a document search. I did the video. I spoke about it, I believe, yesterday, and I was quoting State v. Boykins, but I'm telling you that outside of, there's a new case that came out off the top of my head. I don't know it. I can see it in my head, that there was a search for rental documents, and that was good to go. But as far as documents are concerned for, hold on a second, I'm going to do that again, but I'm going to get back to you for a second question. If you're searching for documents for, first of all, the only thing you'll have to search for is a registration card. If you have an MDT in your car, or MDC, if you call it, mobile data terminal or mobile data computer, you're not going to, how are you going to justify that you didn't know who owned the car? Now you're searching for it. The courts are going to recognize that it was a cheap, half-ass bullshit search. Don't take the bullshit way of doing things. Make sure that you ask for consent, maybe contact a canine, whatever it may be, and another means to get inside the car if that's really what your ultimate goal is. Remember, when you're doing a search for credentials, you really should be looking for credentials. If it's a rental car and you can't find a rental agreement, yeah, you can check the car for the rental agreement. But remember, it allows you to search in certain areas, visor, glove box, center console. You can't be popping the trunk and looking for a rental agreement. You'd probably just have to call the company, give them the plate at that point. Just be real careful with that stuff. Is that if they are under arrest, or does it always, or is it always a no-go? I don't know. You don't have to be under arrest to do a document search if you actually are going to do a document search. That's, you know, you're just looking for a document search in the car. Need one of those sweet polos. Yeah, we're not giving away more polos. I know we're pals, but sorry, dude. They're expensive. I gave a few away, and they're not cheap, brother. All right, let's see here. Last question. Yeah, Bobby, we talked about, just confirming, you can smell weed in a car. Everyone is tossed. That's State versus Judge. And if you look in the group, I put that up. Again, from yesterday, I touched on that. What time is the video tonight? I got an Eagles game to watch. Yeah, well, it's now, so. And Frank Castle writes in, needle exchange cards and PC. I've had a few admit to me having needles or pins on them to show the car legal to possess with drugs. Yes, but okay to search the presence of a card. I've been stuck with those, with the one, so a weapon angle is okay. Since that would be okay for a Terry Pat at that point. You know, really, it comes down to what, that's a hard question to answer because you have a lot of different circumstances. I mean, who are you dealing with, you know, on this stop? What do you have? So many different ways you can, and angles you can hit, and what you're supposed to be doing regarding the situation. Just study the laws on what a needle exchange program is. And does it mean that they probably have CDS on them, whatever it may be? I don't have a great answer for that one, because I really never ran into somebody who was handing me a needle exchange program card saying, I have needles on me. I would say, like, let me see them. And if they have heroin in them, that's a, you know, there's a whole different type of stipulation that you're going to run into there. And I think that's it, guys. I will try to find some of the case law that I quoted this evening in this video and put it up for you. And if you have more questions, put it in the post and I'll attack more stuff tomorrow. Hopefully able to get a lot of value out of this. And that's it. Have a good night. I'll see you guys here tomorrow.